Welcome. It's May 9th, 2023. Ward Green here. The time is 1311 hours. And I'd like to begin with a song from 1974 by the Stylistics. You Make Me Feel Brand New.
Thank you.
So, our study today, Little Children in the Wild Road, Ahead to History, Article Part 2, Chapter 8, Paragraph 10. We have seen how the date of the Exodus in 1493 BCE fixes the Egyptian chronology, called Begag, in a way that enables optimal alignment with the moon. Egyptian calendar dates were often recorded in ancient times without any mention of the phase of the moon. An interesting challenge for later historians to resolve. Today's scholars are somehow, praise God, blind to the 1493 date for Thutmose the third year one, having no reason to tie their own Egyptian chronology to this date, seeing as most biblical archaeologists date the Exodus as 1446, 47 years low, and so introduce large errors. The current article is the 14th by Rolf Ward Green, and the 10th since we introduced the BG in Green, a chronology that was first elaborated in Joseph. It has taken us this long, 10 articles and 8 years of research and writing, to establish a BG foundation. After all this study, we may now state securely that a better or truer chronology than the BG does not exist. We can never take back what has been rightly given us. Even if we did, Jehovah would make his word come true. So, back at the time when this was written in 2016, it had been 8 years, so that means we started around 2008 or so, perhaps 2007. As far as the genealogy goes, and the first discovery of the chronology that is now called the BG, or the Blessed Genealogy, and there have been 10 articles up to this point of the Wild Road article, so that's where we are right now. Of course, we've written several articles since then. Now the Bible. Before we begin the proverb, little children, Malachi 3 and 6, I'd like to cover that, if you will. It says, "For I am Jehovah, I have not changed, and you are sons of Jacob. You have not come to your finish." Malachi 3 and 6. And our proverb for today is from Proverbs chapter 9. And verse 7. Is that correct? I'm trying to think if there's something different. For a while, I was of the opinion that it was a different verse, but I won't say which one. Proverbs 9 and 7 is what it is. He that is correcting the ridiculer is taking to himself dishonor. And he that is giving a reproof to someone wicked, a defect in him. And from the book of Exodus, we've got the Ten Commandments. Finally, the people approached the mountain and they were able to receive what God said. And God proceeded to speak all these words, saying, "I am Jehovah your God, who have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slaves. You must not have any other gods against my face." That was the first commandment. "You must not make for yourself a carved image or a form like anything that is in the heavens above or that is on the earth underneath, or that is in the waters underneath the earth. You must not bow down to them, nor be induced to serve them, because I, Jehovah your God, am a God exacting exclusive devotion, bringing punishment for the error of fathers upon sons, upon the third generation and upon the fourth generation, in the case of those who hate me, but exercising loving kindness toward the thousandth generation in the case of those who love me and keep my commandments. That was the second commandment. You must not take up the name of Jehovah your God in a worthless way. For Jehovah will not leave the one unpunished who takes up his name in a worthless way. That was the third commandment. Remembering the Sabbath day to hold it sacred, you are to render service and you must do all your work 6 days. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to Jehovah your God. You must not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, your slave man nor your slave girl, nor your domestic animal, nor your alien resident who is inside your gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything that is in them. And he proceeded to rest on the seventh day. That is why Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and proceeded to make it sacred. That was the fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, in order that your days may prove long upon the ground that Jehovah your God is giving you. That was the fifth commandment. Excuse me. You must not murder. That was the sixth commandment. You must not commit adultery. You must not commit adultery. That was the seventh commandment. You must not steal. That was the eighth commandment. You must not testify falsely as a witness against your fellow man. That was the ninth commandment. You must not desire your fellow man's house. You must not desire your fellow man's wife, nor his slave man, nor his slave girl, nor his bull, nor his ass, nor anything that belongs to your fellow man. And that was the tenth commandment. Now all the people were seeing the thunders and the lightning flashes and the sound of the horn and the mountain smoking. When the people got to see it, then they quivered and stood at a distance. And they began to say to Moses, "You speak with us, and let us listen, but let not God speak with us, for fear we may die." So Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, because for the sake of putting you to the test, the true God has come. And in order that the fear of him may continue before your faces, that you may not sin." And the people kept standing at a distance, but Moses went near to the dark cloud mass where the true God was. And Jehovah went on to say to Moses, "This is what you are to say to the sons of Israel. You yourselves have seen that it was from the heavens I spoke with you. You must not make along with me gods of silver, and you must not make gods of gold for yourselves. An altar of ground you are to make for me, and you must sacrifice upon it your burnt offerings and your communion sacrifices, your flock and your herd. In every place where I shall cause my name to be remembered, I shall come to you and shall certainly bless you. And if you should make an altar of stones for me, you must not build them as hewn stones. In the event that you do wield your chisel upon it, then you will profane it. And you must not go up by steps to my altar, that your private parts may not be exposed upon it." That was Exodus chapter 20 with the Ten Commandments. Luke 9. Then he called the 12 together. This is, of course, talking about Jesus. What happened at the end of chapter 8? Little children, we should just perhaps review that. Oh, her parents were beside themselves because Jesus resurrected a girl of Jairus, the daughter of Jairus. Then he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to cure sicknesses. And so he sent them forth to preach the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, carry nothing for the trip, neither staff, nor food pouch, nor bread, nor silver money. Neither have two undergarments. But wherever you enter into a home, stay there and leave from there. And wherever people do not receive you, on going out of that city, shake the dust off your feet for a witness against them. Then starting out, they went through the territory from village to village, declaring the good news and performing cures everywhere. Now, Herod, the district ruler, heard of all the things happening, and he was in great perplexity because of its being said by some that John had been raised up from the dead, but by others that Elijah had appeared, but by still others that a certain one of the ancient prophets had risen. Herod said, John I beheaded. Who then is this about whom I am hearing such things? So he was seeking to see him. And when the apostles returned, they recounted to him what things they had done. With that, he took them along and withdrew to privacy into a city called Bethsaida. But the crowds, getting to know it, followed him. And he received them kindly and began to speak to them about the kingdom of God. And he healed those needing a cure. Then the day started to decline. The 12 now came up and said to him, dismiss the crowd, that they may go into the villages and countryside round about and procure lodging and find provisions, because out here we are in a lonely place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. They said, we have nothing more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, unless perhaps we ourselves go and buy foodstuffs for all these people. They were in fact about 5,000 men. But he said to his disciples, have them recline, as at meals, in groups of about 50 each. And they did so, and had them all recline. Then, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, blessed them, and broke them up, and began to give them to the disciples to set before the crowd. So they all ate, and were satisfied, and the surplus that they had was taken up, 12 baskets of fragments. Later, while he was praying alone, his disciples came together to him, and he questioned them, saying, who are the crowds saying that I am? In reply, they said, John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others that one of the ancient prophets has risen. Then he said to them, you, though, who do you say I am? Peter said in reply, the Christ of God. Then in a stern talk to them, he instructed them not to be telling this to anybody, but said, the Son of Man must undergo many sufferings and be rejected by the older men and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised up. Then he went on to say to all, if anyone wants to come after me, let him disown himself and pick up his torture stake day after day and follow me continually. For whoever wants to save his soul will lose it. But whoever loses his soul for my sake is the one that will save it. Really, what does a man benefit himself if he gains the whole world but loses his own self or suffers damage? For whoever becomes ashamed of me and of my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of this one when he arrives in his glory and that of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truthfully, there are some of those standing here that will not taste death at all until first they see the kingdom of God. In actual fact, about 8 days after these words, he took Peter and John and James along and climbed up into the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his apparel became glitteringly white. Also, look, two men were conversing with them who were Moses and Elijah. These appeared with glory and began talking about his departure that he was destined to fulfill at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those with him were weighed down with sleep. But when they got fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And as these were being separated from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Instructor, it is fine for us to be here. So let us erect three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He not realizing what he was saying. But as he was saying these things, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them. As they entered into the cloud, they became fearful. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, the one that has been chosen. Listen to him." And as the voice occurred, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and did not report to anyone in those days any of the things they saw. On the succeeding day when they got down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. And look, a man cried out from the crowd saying, "Teacher, I beg you to take a look at my son because he is my only begotten. And look, a spirit takes him and suddenly he cries out and it throws him into convulsions with foam and it scarcely withdraws from him after bruising him. And I begged your disciples to expel it, but they could not." In response, Jesus said, "Oh, faithless and twisted generation, how long must I continue with you and put up with you? Lead your son over here." But even as he was approaching, the demon dashed him to the ground and violently convulsed him. However, Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and delivered him to his father. Well, they all began to be astounded at the majestic power of God. Now, as they were all marveling at all the things he was doing, he said to his disciples, "Give lodgment to these words in your ears. For the Son of Man is destined to be delivered into the hands of men." But they continued without understanding of this saying. In fact, it was concealed from them that they might not see through it, and they were afraid to question him about this saying. Then a reasoning entered among them as to who would be the greatest of them. Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, took a young child, set it beside him, and said to them, "Whoever receives this young child on the basis of my name receives me too. And whoever receives me receives him also that sent me forth. For he that conducts himself as a lesser one among all of you is the one that is great." In response, John said, "Instructor, we saw a certain man expelling demons by the use of your name, and we tried to prevent him because he is not following with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not you men try to prevent him. For he that is not against you is for you." As the days were now coming to the full for him to be taken up, he firmly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So he sent forth messengers in advance of him. And they went their way and entered into a village of Samaritans to make preparation for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for going to Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and annihilate them?" But he turned and rebuked them. So they went to a different village. Now, as they were going on the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you to wherever you may depart." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have dens and birds of heaven have roosts, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay down his head." Then he said to another, "Be my follower." The man said, "Permit me first to leave and bury my father." But he said to him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go away and declare abroad the kingdom of God." And still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those in my household." Jesus said to him, "No man that has put his hand to a plow and looks at the things behind is well fitted for the kingdom of God." And that was Luke chapter 9. That's the end of today's study, little children. Thank you for listening and watching. I love you all very much, and I hope you enjoyed it. Today is May 9th, 2023. It's 1336 hours. And for Ward Green, it is Phoebe and Dusty. saying bye for now.